find where I put it. Oh, there it is.
Before I start reading,
let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the love that you've shown us, for the fact that you don't leave us alone in this world and allow us to just bump around in the dark, but you lead and guide us. We thank you, Lord, that you reveal to us yourself each day in different ways, and for this opportunity to read of you in your word. Open up our hearts and minds to hear what it is that you have for us, that your name and your name alone may be praised. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Exodus chapter 33, verse 12 to 23. Moses said to the Lord, "Look, you've been telling me, lead these people forward. But you haven't told me whom you will send with me. Yet you've assured me, I know you by name and think highly of you. Now, if you do think highly of me, show me your ways so that I may know you and so that you may really approve of me. And remember, too, that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "I'll go myself. I'll help you." Moses replied, "If you won't go yourself, don't make us leave here. Because how will anyone know that we have your special approval, both I and your people, unless you go with us? Only that distinguishes us, me and your people, from every other people on earth." The Lord said to Moses, "I'll do exactly what you've asked because you have my special approval, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Please show me your glorious presence." The Lord said, "I'll make all my goodness pass in front of you, and I'll proclaim before you the name, the Lord. I will be kind to whoever I wish to be kind, and I will have compassion to whomever I wish to be compassionate." But the Lord said, "You can't see my face, because no one can see me and live." The Lord said, "Here's a place near me where you will stand beside the rock as my glorious presence passes by. I'll set you in a gap in the rock, and I'll cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I'll take away my hand, and you will see my back, but my face won't be visible." This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right, so a little context before we move forward. Last week was kind of an introduction to this week's scripture. The two scriptures together, in my opinion, shares one of the best messages that the Bible tells us. Kind of what the Bible's, how the Bible, you can sum up the Bible in one phrase, and I'll save that phrase for the very, very end. Last week's scripture that we read was about the golden calf. The story of the golden calf is that Moses went up on the mountain to talk to God and to get the commandments from God, how to worship God, how to obey God, and that sort of thing. And we're told that he chiseled them out on a stone tablet. It took him about 40 days. The people were getting a little antsy because Moses was for them the symbol of the presence of God with them. He was God's mouthpiece, more or less. And when with Moses gone, they felt alone and afraid. Even though they were sitting at the base of God's mountain, they thought something happened to Moses. And they didn't have that tangible thing anymore. So they said, "We don't know what happened to Moses. Let's build a calf." The calf for them was a symbol of their God. And it served to lessen God. God who can't be captured in any image, in any likeness, in anything, because God is too big. A neat thing is that in one of the temples that they had built for God, there was a throne, an empty throne. And they took measurements of the throne. And if you put the throne and you take the proportions of the throne and you create a human body out of the throne's proportions, it showed that the human body that would sit in the throne would rise above the roof of the throne, of the temple itself. The temple itself could not hold the idea of God. And so they had this, but the people in their weakness created this golden calf. And they started worshiping and reveling and doing all manners of things for this calf. And God was so irritated. And if you read chapter 32 and some of 33, you'll see that God's irritated and mad because God's done so much for them. And yet, very quickly, they turn their back on God. And it's like if God had hair, and I don't know if God has hair, but it would be pulling his hair out. And he stiff-necked people. And he says, I don't want anything to do with them anymore. I'm done. I gave them a shot, and that's it. Moses has this wonderful relationship with God and says, well, they are your people after all. And you know they're stiff-necked. You can't give up. You can't stop this. And God said, you know what? I'm so irritated right now that if I would go with them, I would burn them up. I'd just wipe them all out. God was still going to send them the promised land. God was, instead of going himself, going to send an angel to lead them to the promised land. Remember the cloud that was in front of the people by day and the pillar of fire by night? Well, that was still going to happen. And they were going to follow that all the way to the promised land. Now, Moses understands something here that I think is of the utmost importance. Moses understands something here that I think the people didn't quite understand, and I think we need reminded. Without the presence of God, there's no hope. And Moses says this to God. God, if you're not with us, we will not survive. They might make it. But as a people, as a nation, rip each other to shreds. There will be no hope. There will be no good. For with God, and with God alone, there is good. Moses is rightfully afraid. You have to go with us. You have to be present with us. Tell us, please, that you will come along. And then Moses uses, one thing that I love about the Old Testament people in the Old Testament is how they talk to God. And it's like a conversation. It's not formulaic. It's not a ritual. It's not in these little prayers that they memorize. It's face-to-face. If they're irritated, they'll talk to God in an irritated manner. If they're happy, they'll talk to God in a happy manner. It's wonderfully refreshing and sincere. And Moses, who is afraid and needs to have God with him, starts bargaining with God and says, God, you say that I'm your friend. You say that you know me. Please do this for me. And don't forget, they are, after all, your people, not mine. And God says, fine. Tell you what. I will go myself. And I will help you myself. What a refreshing thing that must have been for Moses. To know that Moses didn't have to do it alone. To know that Moses wouldn't be leading thousands of stiff-necked people who at the drop of a hat would do whatever they want anyway, know that God was going to be with them each step of the way. That Moses didn't have to lead them all by himself. Moses pushes it though. See how just how committed God is to this idea. Moses said, fine, I appreciate that you're coming with us, but show me just how much you are committed to this idea. I want to see you. I love this because Moses doesn't always ask for a tangible kind of proof of God. But he does here. Because he needs to know in his heart that God is indeed present with him. And so he says, show me. And then God says, well, all right. I can't show you my face because you can't take it. But I'll show you what I can. And he puts Moses in a cleft of a rock, covers Moses' face so that Moses is protected with his hands. And I love this because God doesn't put the responsibility of protecting Moses on Moses. God protects Moses, God's own self, and puts his hand in front of his face, walks past him, and speaks the name of the Lord. Moses turns around and sees tangible proof of God's presence. Not that Moses especially needed it, but Moses saw in that moment just how much God wanted to be present with people. What I love about this is this. Chapter 32, in the blink of an eye, the people turn their back on God. When everything goes the way that they didn't plan it to go, the people leave. It's a common chorus in our own lives. We're tempted when things don't go right or the way that we plan life. We want to go. We want to leave. And you might say, well, you know, I've been through a lot of things in my own life. But, you know, I still believe in God, and I'm still there. We live in a nation where consumerism is rampant and everywhere. And what that does to our own lives is that what that means is that we have choices, and we also feel we have the right to choose whatever it is that we want. And this isn't necessarily a bad thing. But what this tends to mean is that when someone makes me mad, I'm just going to go somewhere else. I'm just going to go do. You know, there's no loyalty. And we see this in the churches today. We see people who say, you know, someone said something to me that wasn't nice. And the truth is that churches are full of people who need God in their lives, which means sometimes they mess up. And so because that happens, I'm done. I'm just going to go somewhere else. And then when something bad there happens, it goes somewhere else. When something bad there happens, it goes somewhere else. Committed, not to the God that they serve, but committed to how people make them feel. This is such a common human trait that we see it in the people of Israel how many thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. When they thought God left, they immediately turned to something else. And God, seeing the people that He Himself brought them out of Egypt, that He Himself brought them across the Red Sea, that He Himself gave them manna, that He Himself gave them quail, that He Himself gave them water out of a rock, turned their back on Him in a second. God still, after a little cajoling from Moses, committed himself to the people and still said, fine, they are my people. Though they abandon me, I will not abandon them. Do not discount the Old Testament. I've heard it said by many Christians that I am a New Testament Christian. I don't know what that means exactly. But the Old Testament is the foundation of which the New Testament is built upon. The God that we have back then in the Old Testament is the God that we serve now in the New Testament and in our day and age. The God that said to a people who abandoned them, I am your God and you are my people. The same God that who sat at the table with his disciples and said, one of you will betray me. And the disciples said in their weakness, Lord, is it I? And each of them did betray him. But anyway, Jesus said, this is my body broken for you. Take and eat. This is my blood shed for you. Take and drink. When he knew that his disciples would skedaddle the night that the Roman soldiers would come and take Jesus Christ said, I am yours anyway. I will not leave you. I will be with you. Do you know what the overall theme and message of the Bible is? If you can sum it up in one line, in one sentence, it's God with us. That's the message of the Bible. God with us. Every single story, every single scripture tells us that God does not leave, that God is present always. That God is there with the people that are weak, people that are sinful, people that are looking for their own way, for their own thing. And God made this permanent by a show of his presence through Jesus Christ. Saying that through Christ's birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven, where he now sits on the right hand of God, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. This is such a wonderful message. Because Moses realized what it would be like without God and said, I cannot have that. I need you in my presence. Our story today, I pray in my own heart and in all of ours, rekindles that desire and need for God through Jesus Christ in our life. That we imagine what it would be like without, and proclaim to God, Lord, I need you in my life now, more than ever. And as we go and go where God leads us in this community of traffic, to serve God in whatever way God lays before us, I pray that whatever it is that we do in order to love traffic in the name of Jesus, we only do seeking out the presence of God in everything that we do. Knowing that we need God so much. Let those around us be so happy in the presence of God also. We praise God for the opportunities we will face.